so I'm having an audible debate with myself over the need for someone to say boneless brisket, or what natural or all natural even means on a barbecue ball. So, just to be clear, brisket does not contain bones, and if you ever find a bone in brisket, you have the front end of a cow. It's at a farming ranch, so I know I have some reference to that, but I had a lot of feelings on this topic of joy and what it meant to me, what it meant as a Christian, or what it means as a human being, and how that compares to other things in life like sorrow or sadness. More specifically, even would be what the antithesis of joy would be to me. But joy is a universal feeling. Everyone, every person I assume, has felt some type of joy in their life. Yet, even though it may be a universal feeling, it's one that we can all share experiences about, and it's tailored to each of us individually. What brings me joy, like perfectly cooked ramen noodles, may not bring any of you joy at all. I just look like a bowl full of wet wig. But a perfectly pressed shirt or slacks, or a field with nothing growing in it but corn plants, and they're just perfectly straight because I was using the GPS this year so I could work on this lesson while watching, which absolutely happened. Those things bring me joy, specifically me. But they may not mean much to you. But today, as we think about the topic of joy, specifically the joys of being a Christian, maybe we'll find some commonalities that we all share. But the joy that we experience simply from being in Christ's church, there are joys that are not felt outside of the church. These are exclusive to us. And I can't prove this theory that I have, but I believe personally that we were designed physiologically or psychologically or somehow to feel the joy of God's love and forgiveness on a level that's not possible any other way. On a deeper level, I feel that it's a visceral, palpable experience that even though it may not be a quantifiable thing, it's just as real to us as the wind in your face and the sun on your skin. And we are such a beautiful, complex, and intricate creation. And we just continue to discover things in a scientific way to describe what we've all known for so long. Like David in Psalms 139 said, "For I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And speaking of a little side note here, a scientific discovery that I saw on the news the other day, it said a study shows there is mental health benefit to therapy. I thought, you think? Talking about our issues actually helps. It's almost like if we're thoughtful and we meditate on things in our lives, aka prayer and supplication, that maybe we have better lives. It's crazy, right? What do you think the Psalms are? David was talking about his issues, asking for help, thanking God. God was the original therapist. So read the rest of the 139 Psalm and tell me if you don't think God or David was on God's couch for that one. But I want to read a small section from a book that I have called The Vine's Complete Expository Dictionary of Old and New Testament Words. And if you don't have this publication and you're studying for lessons or anything in general, I would highly recommend it. It's been a fantastic tool, and I was fortunate enough to have someone in our congregation give it to me, so appreciate that. It's extremely useful, though. But I read this section here, and I was immediately struck with how interesting the perspective in this observation on the word joy was. But for joy, it gives several different applications of the word that were translated from Greek. In particular, this one note, it was in reference to its use as a noun. And there are some verses associated with this that I'm not going to read through all of them, and I may not even list all of them off because there was quite a few, and if you guys are interested in a list of that, I can give you the afterwards. But joy, it said, is associated with life. 1 Thessalonians 3, 8, 9. And it said, experiences of sorrow prepare for and enlarge the capacity for joy. John 16, 20, Romans 5, 3, and 4, and a few others there. And then also the last one was persecution for Christ's sake enhances joy. Matthew 5:11-12, Acts 5:41. So, to go back to that first example there that I mentioned, 1 Thessalonians 3:8. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord, but what thanks can we render to God again for you? for all the joy wherewith we joy, for your sakes, before our God. I just want to expand on this first concept a little bit, that joy is associated with life. And I would add to this and say that joy is both for life, this life, and eternal life. I can't think of heaven, at least not in the way that I've seen it described, without thinking about how joyful we will be. Revelation 21:4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away." But think about the absence of death, and sorrow, and pain, and that seems like a pretty pleasant place to me. I would say one could almost consider it joyful. So, Jude 1:24. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy," in that moment, when we are facing eternity, we find ourselves in the presence of God in Jesus Christ. We want to be bold in knowing that we are there to stay in his presence. We will be exceeding joyful in this. And this is, in my honest opinion, the joy that we should be focused on. If we could only pick one type of joy, or one application of joy in this world, it would be the joy of being in God's presence. It says that we will be exceedingly joyful. And the word joy that they use in this was, I wish I could pronounce this better, Agalia. I'm sorry. I'll have to spell it out if someone wants to see it, but A-G-A-L-L-I-A, and then O with the line over it. I struggled. I practiced it, and it's not getting any easier. So, but they define it as to exult or rejoice greatly. And that was the translation for exceeding joy. We will exult and rejoice greatly. And heaven seems to me to be a whole lot of this. So if it doesn't sound appealing to you, then maybe we're not after the same thing. Thank you very, very much. I'm prepared.
Oh, in Jesus' name.
So, I'll be on card there. But praising God and singing joyful songs, having that unending feeling of happiness, fulfillment, and completeness, or entirety, being at a point where we no longer have want or need for anything else ever again, except to keep praising God and just existing with Him forever. It's like when I close my eyes, I can see it in my head and I can see how it'll be. But I imagine that's a little bit like a child trying to envision what their life's going to be like in 50 years. Think 50 years ago, that's 1973. The game Pong was barely a year old, if you can remember that. Watergate just happened. We didn't have our phones, it was just the phone. It was a thing on the wall in a room. Freebird had just came out. But people in that time had no understanding of what life would be like today. If you were a child in that time and someone told you that one day there would be a connected electronic network with the ability to discover nearly anything ever written or created in human history that's ever been recorded, that you could make $1 million filming yourself with a small handheld device, doing things you already did, and then posting it on a platform called YouTube, that there would be something you carried everywhere with you that you could just speak to others with, or speak to that device itself, and it would cause you to spend way too much time in your life just staring at it, hours every day, for some of us. And that we still didn't have flying cars. And you would have thought that we were crazy. Your ability as a child to comprehend that concept of the future, now, as it exists, was non-existent. You'd have probably gotten a nosebleed just thinking about it. But the idea that I can comprehend what forever in heaven with God would be like seems almost laughable to me at times. But the opposite of that, though, if you think about sadness, sorrow, and there in that instance, from spending eternity hell. It's permanently separated from God. I heard on a podcast here a while back a guy describing his time in prison and how his cellmate had not a life sentence, but he got 500 years. I'd never heard of an instance like that. But it was going to be like 2490 before he was released. So, I mean, regardless of whether he could die and come back, he was still staying there. But this podcaster mentioned that his doomed cellmate felt sad knowing that he was probably going to hell and was doing certain things to help others in prison there to make up for his life. And the podcaster wanted to tell him, like, hey, you're already in hell, you know? And I thought about that prison, separation just from the outside world, was hell to them. What's the worst place that you can be in prison? It's in the hole, right? Solitary confinement? That's separation from all humans and everything. That's one of the worst experiences that someone can imagine for another human being. Now imagine being separated from God entirely for eternity, unendingly. That is the real hell. That is the real prison. Now, I've felt joy, earthly joy, a type of happiness, what I would consider joy. And surely we've all felt happiness from earthly events. But I want us to do a little mental exercise here and think for a second. If I was like a man on the street quiz type of thing, and I asked you to describe joy, the word joy, I just asked you to simply define it. What would that mean to you? This is one of the first thoughts that I had when I was preparing this. And I didn't think of it from the Christian perspective. I thought about the word as part of the English language. I thought joy, that's just an experience of gladness or happiness. Christian joy is more than that. It's a feeling of happiness with God. Once we have Christ in our life and we've accepted Him as our Lord and Savior, we feel happiness that I would argue we could not have before. We have that direct connection to God that isn't possible without Christ. He intercedes for us, Romans 8:34. Because this is a happiness that can never be taken away from us and it can never be.